need potential at this grown big age. Come already potential.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
No one's giving free fentanyl to the kids. That's not happening. Stop it. Stop it. It might have happened one time where some junkie, you know, threw out some whatever. Say, here's some fentanyl pills. Have a nice night. But no one's giving free drugs away. That doesn't happen. Because if that would happen, I wouldn't be here right now. I would be getting the free drugs. That's what I would be doing.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is the girl who sits on our Bonhomie board of directors, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us.
I use Bonhomie
because I figure if we're going to do word of the day, there's no use in throwing it out in the trash then. I got to then use it.
Exactly. Incorporate it.
So I told
into daily life.
One of my daughters last night that she wasn't being very Bonhomie. She had an 80-minute meltdown over an outfit that she had to wear. Not even an outfit, pajamas. And I was like, honey, you have to wear pajamas to bed. She wanted to wear like this full Easter dress.
And I'm like, she loves her dresses.
I know. She does love her dresses. And I don't want to kill her spirit. But at the same time, like, it's your Easter dress. It's for Easter. It's not special if you wear it all the time. It's just not. We got to, like, some stuff we got to save for the rainy day. You know what I'm saying? Or a special day. And we just can't do that. But an 80-minute meltdown. And then at the end, I just said, you're not being very Bonhomie. And she looked at me like, huh? And I said, don't worry, I just learned the word also. So both of us are learning new words.
Exactly.
What's your word of the day today? You got a word of the day over there?
I do have a word of the day today.
All right, let's keep it going. Why not?
I know.
Okay, dying for content. Let's go for it.
Okay. You ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, the word for today is quotidian.
Oh, quotidian.
Quotidian.
That's when you draw quotes on someone's tits.
It's
and then you say literally. That's when you go literally with your hands on someone's nipples. Literally. Quotidian.
Would you like me to give you a quotidian?
So I'm going to assume this is derived from Greek language.
Close. Latin.
Latin. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And Greek is Latin.
Exactly.
Brian, what are you thinking? The Greek language. All right. And
it is from the 14th century.
Okay. It's an old word. I've gone my whole life without quotidians.
Yep. Okay. But it's a good one here.
All right. So give me it in a sentence.
Well, hold on.
Give it to me in a sentence. Let me see if I can figure out what it means. I'm usually good at this kind of stuff.
Okay. Washing the dishes was a quotidian task, but she made the time pass quickly by listening to the commercial break.
Ah, okay. Boring or tedious?
It's occurring every day, daily.
Oh, a daily task.
But mundane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like the commercial break.
Exactly. I thought it was very fitting. Okay,
yeah, there you go. I'm going to call it the quotidian break. That's the new. I literally am going to put that on a banner. I'm going to put that on a banner and I'm going to send it out to the universe. The commercial break. Quotidian. It's quotidian. It's boring and mundane, and you have to listen to it every day. All right. Okay. That's a good one. I like quotidian.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I wasn't right about the boobs, but, you know, I'm a 3-year-old in my head.
That could maybe be the Urban Dictionary version.
Yeah. Okay.
Of
quotidian
word.
Is where you do the literally on someone's boobs.
Yeah.
Literally. With permission, of course.
Yes.
Okay. I don't want anybody running around quotidian. They're getting any
don't
kind
get
of trouble.
Crazy when you're quotidians.
Yes. So
quotidian's gone wild.
Ooh, that's a good one. It's quotidian. If we put that on a banner ad, I think people would click on. I mean, they would click on it, and then they would quickly figure out that it is quotidian.
Get Bonhomie.
Yeah.
But with our quotidian.
That's right.
Podcast.
It's quotidian, but Bonhomie. There you go. Look at us. We're bringing words to the people. And that's desperately needed because even I find my language is getting dumbed down by all the stupid shit that I read on the internet. It's like I'm using always or amazing or the best or the most. And nothing can be the
perfect.
Most. Yeah. It's perfect. Is it really? Is it really? That's my favorite. I say that every 3 minutes. It can't be your favorite every time, or it's not your favorite. Favorite denotes it's one of a thing that can never be replicated because it is your favorite. You don't have multiple favorites. I guess you can have favorites, but you're favoring something, and that's a different way to
Jeff
use the word.
Jeff called me out on that a little while back and was like, yeah, but you said that the other song was your favorite song.
Yeah.
Like, I know, but this one is my favorite. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's my favorite. This is another favorite.
So I tried to say one of my favorites now.
I dated a girl, and we went to the High Museum, thinking that, you know, just to give throw a little class into the whole situation.
I love that place.
Classless relationship. We decided to class it up a little bit. So we go there. And
was it that nighttime like jazz one?
No, this is like daytime.
Okay.
And it was actually a cool exhibit in the sense that it was a Ferrari exhibit.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember when that came?
Okay. Uh-huh.
So it had like the original Ferrari or whatever. It was all about Ferraris.
Were you calling on the High Museum, quote unquote?
Yes, I was quotidying my
and so that's how you got there during work hours.
Yes. I
got it.
So yeah, exactly. It took me a minute to pick up on what you were saying, but yes, I'm going to talk to the dry cleaner down the street. I'll be back in 3 to 7 hours.
Talk to the decision maker
probably
at the High
drunk.
Museum. They're probably good. They absolutely want to do some advertising with us.
I have to go to the Cheetah again. They're already a client. I know, but you know, a lot of relationship management going
exactly.
on there.
Exactly. You got to keep up with that.
If I don't show up at least once a day, they're going to think, you know, what do we think of them? They're spending $2,000 a month. We got to keep that relationship going. I'm also spending $2,000 a month on the corporate card. So we go to this particular event. It's like a Saturday afternoon. It doesn't really matter what day it was. Why are you saying that? That's no relevance in the story. I'm checking myself as we talk. So we go, and I find a lot of things amazing. So I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Wow, mm-hmm. amazing. Wow, amazing. And I realize that maybe I say that word a little bit too much. It's like a crutch word for me, right? That's amazing. This is amazing. That's amazing. Or wow, wow, wow.
I do it too, though.
So me and this girl that I was dating, we get into a huge argument because at one point she walks away from me. While we're looking at the exhibit, she walks away from me. Like, I can just tell. I guess that
she's irritated.
She's irritated. She doesn't like me anymore. She never liked me in the first place. Right. She was just there for my house. Whatever. Okay. What? And so I walk over and she's like, I just need a minute. I'm like, what happened? And she goes, I can't. If you say the word amazing one more time, isn't there another word in your vocabulary to use to describe this art or these cars or whatever? And I'm like, are we really arguing about the word amazing? She's like, it wouldn't be an argument if you didn't say it 500 times in the last hour. I'm so annoyed. And I was like, wow, this is amazing that you... It's amazing you're getting mad at me about this. But it was an argument that lasted, I think, like a day and a half.
Oh, God.
Over my limited vocabulary, my limited adjective vocabulary.
That was the first of many red flags, so...
It wasn't the first of many red flags. It was okay. Like the last of many red flags.
It was the 50th of the red flags.
50th red flag. So I wanted to talk about this. I go to Starbucks yesterday, and I know all the people at the Starbucks because I go there every morning.
It's your little getaway.
It is my getaway. It really is. Yeah. It's my 15 minutes alone in the morning, check myself before I wreck myself kind of thing. And I get a little pop of caffeine. I feel good. I check the download stats, and then I feel bad. And then... I look at how much money we're making. I want to crash into the Starbucks, but I don't because there are people there who I know now who are very friendly and I like them as people, as a group, a collective group. They're very nice.
Do they spell your name with a Y?
They do know how to spell my
name. All right.
But they don't even have to spell my name. Half the time I walk in and they're already making it. It's already there for me. And
wow.
So that's that kind of.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. You're amazing. It's amazing. This is amazing. Everything's my favorite. So I go in, and one of the younger ladies that's working there is there with her boyfriend, but she's not working. She's sitting at one of the tables. And she's like, Brian! She's like one of kind of these happy, smiley, you know, Brian, good morning! And I'm like, oh, hey, how are you? Yeah, I'm good! And so I'm sitting there talking to her and her boyfriend, who also works at the Starbucks, by the way. And she says, you've got to try our new EVOO creamy latte frappe.
Oh, I've heard about those.
And I'm like, what? And she goes,
the extra virgin olive oil.
She goes, our new EVOO cold brew and cream. And I'm like, did you say like extra virgin olive oil? She's like, it's amazing. And I go, why in the world would they put olive oil in coffee? She says, they put it in the foam to make it extra creamy, right? And I thought to myself, cream is already extra creamy. Like, we don't need extra creamy cream. And then you're going to fluff up some EVOO and put it on top of my cream. The only thing that I could think at that moment was, if smelling coffee makes me run to the bathroom every morning, taking extra virgin olive oil foam and cream inside of my coffee is a way to slide every bit of food that came into me in the last 24 hours out. And I was all about it. I'm like, all right, okay, I'll try it. I have not tried it. I didn't try it this time because a cup of coffee was already ready. So I was like, I don't want two cups of coffee. But I'm going to try it tomorrow. I'm going to let you know how it goes.
Please do. I've heard about this. And hey, I go through tons of olive oil on a regular basis.
Yeah, we do too.
I cook with it. I put it in, you know, dressings, salads, the whole thing. I use it for my hair, my skin.
You put Jizzle Drizzle in your hair?
Yeah, it's a good mask.
Like you're like once, that guy Ed on 90 Day Fiancé who puts mayonnaise in his hair.
Once a month.
Once a month?
Mm-hmm.
You put olive oil in your hair?
Yeah, and just do a little mask. It's like a little homemade mask. Anyways.
Do you like pour it on yourself?
Well, I usually just do kind of pour it in my hands and then put it into the ends.
Do you
step into the shower and douse myself?
I'm just curious how this goes. I didn't know you put olive oil in your hair.
Yeah, you can.
You got beautiful hair.
Thank you.
I can't argue with the results. But the question is, how does this all go down? Do you like go to the kitchen, take out your EVOO that you just cooked you and Jeff dinner last night, naked from the waist down? And then Jeff's waiting there in his kitchen. I imagine he has like a kitchen frock, like a little apron, right? With a hole cut out in the bottom.
Yep.
And it said, D's nuts are cooking tonight. D's nuts are for dinner.
What's for dinner? D's nuts.
D's nuts. Okay. So the whole scene going on. Mm-hmm. And then you say, honey, I've got to do my EVOO tonight.
Yeah.
And he says, great. I'll participate. And so then do you go into the bathroom?
He doesn't participate.
Oh, he doesn't like help you with the hair?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Maybe I should
do it on my own.
I know, but maybe this could be like a little foreplay.
Then we can just get all oily and
listen, this is what I'm thinking is that let it just drip off your hair. Like literally do an EVOO shower where you guys are just pouring EVO all over each other.
I mean,
I am so excited about this.
Honestly, I love this.
I hope you try this.
Because
I'm too.
It's about time for that mask.
It's some kind of mask. So then you pour a little bit in your hands, and then you just run it through your hair.
Yeah, and comb it through, and then you can kind of twist it up, and just leave it to sit for 30 minutes or so.
Really?
While I go watch the show, and then you wash it out. Yeah.
Wow.
They do hot oil scalp massages too. Like sometimes for when you go to a spa.
Oh, okay. So they put like warm oil in your hair and it's EVOO is what they're doing? Or is it some kind of specialized hair product?
Yeah. I mean, the last one I did was the EVOO.
Wow. I had no idea this was going on.
EVOO has been a staple in my house, but I have never tried it with the coffee.
Well, I've never tried it with coffee
either. I am interested too.
Well, who came up with this idea? Are the Italians doing this? Are the French doing this? Are we?
I did not have EVOO in Italy in my coffee when I went.
So. But now, you know, I'm thinking about something. When I went to
must be something to it.
When I went to London at the Starbucks, the very big Starbucks in the train station. Of which there was like three people in this huge Starbucks. And then there was like 100 people in like the local coffee shop that was also right across the hallway.
Yes.
And like no one cares for Starbucks across. I mean, I don't say no one cares, but it's certainly not as popular. If there was a Starbucks here and a local coffee shop, the Starbucks would be packed and the local coffee shop would have a couple people in it.
But they like to support local usually outside of.
I think they feel like Starbucks is just another crappy American thing that's been transported over here, like McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken for whatever reason. That's a hit over there. Anyway, I go to London, I go to the train station, and the couple days that I was there, the 4 days, mornings that I was there, I walked, and they had EVOO bottles. They had like this huge circular setup, and all around the glass, they had bottles of EVOO.
Yeah.
And so now I'm wondering if this is like a thing that was being done across the seas and they just brought it over.
Maybe.
But I am so happy to try it. I just have to try it near a bathroom that I like, not the actual Starbucks bathroom, because I know that's getting blown up 3 times an hour. You don't know how many times I'm sitting at that Starbucks.
Why don't you just get it and then take it home?
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll drink it here.
And then you can have your conference as well.
My morning press conference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I drove the kids to school today. I'm driving the kids to school now just because of the way that the schedule works out.
Yeah.
And it's an addendum to the morning press conference is when the tough questions are asked. You know what I'm saying? You know, like if the White House press secretary.
They've had some things to think about from the morning press conference, and then they follow up.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many things flying by the window that then there's a lot of questions to be asked. Like, why is the moon out? Why is there only one moon? Why can't I look at the sun? Why are the trees green? So many questions. Of which I like to answer, and I'm probably getting so much of it wrong, they're going to be just as dumb as I am because I don't know, but I make it up as I go along. I'm like, oh, chloroform. That's why the trees are green. They're going to go to school and be like, Daddy uses chloroform to make the trees green. People are going to be like, what? Daddy uses what? So I...
Just start telling them to ask their teacher.
Yeah. But, you know, I also
want... You're on the way to school.
I also want to be looked at as like the cool dad that answered all the questions. So I try my best to be really... I want them to have knowledge, and I want that knowledge to come from somewhere. They're too young. They'll have a chance to get the facts later. I'm just going to share some information that they can think in their heads right now.
Okay.
We're going on like a two-night getaway to my parents' house. Like, we do this often, right? It's the one place we can go without spending any money, which is exactly how much money we have right now.
Exactly.
So, unbelievable. So
that's a nice little getaway, the lake.
Is, yeah, we love it. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. It was the right move. You know, my dad had originally gotten a mountain house, which you and I visited a number of times. And we really liked that. But it's limited in scope in the sense that you go there for the weekend, but you're staying there for the weekend.
Yeah,
it was literally on top of a mountain. You had to get up a dirt road. It was not easy to get down. And even when you did get down, there was nothing within like 30 miles. So you had at least an hour
to
drive.
There's like the tiniest little convenience store that has old stuff in it.
Yeah, stuff that hasn't been touched.
Right.
Like moon pies from the 70s, right? But they're still valid because moon pies don't expire. Yes. Twinkies, I don't know if you're sure they make those anymore, but there's like Twinkies in there. Yeah, that convenience store was nothing. And then they had a Piggly Wiggly down the street.
Oh, right. No, the Piggly Wiggly is big.
You know, and the Piggly Wiggly was big. That's the big hit in this particular part of the world, North Georgia Mountains. So anyway, but my dad and my stepmom started to realize that as we all kind of got our own lives and wives and all that other shit that comes along with being an adult, that the trips up there were becoming less and less frequent. And they, as they retired, didn't want to live there because they were afraid that we wouldn't come up as often and it would be boring. They don't have a chance to have friends or any stuff. So they moved to a lake in a big community with a lot of other boaters and retired people and whatever near a major.
My dad did the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a smart move. Because now you can guarantee that the kids are going to come up at least during the spring and summer because there's lots of fun. There's boating and lakes and pools and all that other stuff. And it's not too far off the beaten path. In 30 minutes, you can be in downtown Clemson area, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on there. So we're going to this. So we go there often because we have kids and that's just an easy couple hour drive up there. Spend the weekend.
Change of scenery.
And the grandparents love the kids. So Astrid and I get a little bit of a break.
Yes.
So they both have, or a couple of my kids have suitcases like Mickey and Elsa. And, you know, we just got them like these suitcases, right? They're not suitcases. They're just plastic boxes that you can, it looks like a suitcase, but it's just really a cheap piece of crap, right? But they are so excited because now they have it in their heads that they too can pack their own suitcase.
Uh-huh.
So they get out their suitcases last night. They're so excited. Can I pack my own suitcase? Can I bring my suitcase? And so usually we try and just take as little as possible. But this time I'm like, okay, permitted. Like, you guys can do this for sure.
Let's see what you got.
Yeah, let's see what you got. Well, now it was 5 days before we go to this fucking place, right? And so we're packing a little bit early. So I said, let's pack a little bit at a time, right? We'll pack our underwear tonight and our socks. So I get in this discussion with one of my kids, and he's like, how many underwears do I need to bring? And I'm like, let's bring three. One for each day, the 2 days that we're going to be there, and then an extra just in case you shit yourself. And which, you know, isn't likely to happen, but also isn't out of the realm of possibility. Right. Daddy also brings extra underwear on his trips in case I shit myself.
It's a good rule of thumb.
It's a good rule of thumb to always have underwear. Even though there's washers and dryers up there, it would be good if we had an extra pair of pants.
Yeah.
So he goes, he brings three, and then he brings three socks. We have that discussion. And then one of my other kids, she is going behind him. So I'm paying attention to the one suitcase and not paying attention to the other suitcase. And I turn around and literally the entire bedroom is in this kid's suitcase. It's like overflowing with clothes and shit, right? And I'm like, whoa, 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 honey.
She's starting early.
She is. I'm like, babe.
The overpacking.
Yeah. We don't need three pairs of, we don't need three swimsuits. We don't need 12 stuffies. We don't need six books. And then she's like, oh, but what should I bring? And I'm like, well, I said, let's pack underwear and socks today. And then tomorrow we'll get to other stuff. Right. And so I'm like, how many? And I go, three. Three's good. It's a good rule of thumb. So she goes over. She's got a bunch. She's got like 10 pairs of underwear in this thing already. So she takes them out. She throws them all over the place. And she's like, okay, I'll count. And I go, okay, good. And she goes, one, 2, 2, 3, 3. And I go, hey, that's not how it goes. It's not 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 2, 3, 3, 3. That's how we ended up with multiple children. We were counting the wrong way.
Exactly.
We did the wrong counting. It's day 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. I'm like, you know, 1, 2, 3. That's how you do it. You do it 1, 2, 3. And this kid is like, no, dad. Let me do it. Let me do it. 1, 1, 1. And I'm like, no. It's 1, 2, 3. 1, 1. And she goes, this is what she said to me. She goes, my suitcase, my counting, I get to do it.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, Mrs. Attitude Rudy. What is going on with you? Are we going to have a meltdown if we don't have 70 pairs of underwear? What do we need? And so eventually she told me that she wants color. She wants multiple options.
Well,
and
I was like, the options thing is for real.
What is she doing? Going on a date? She needs multiple underwear options? Who's she going to meet up there? I mean, come on.
I'm just saying, I like to have multiple options. You probably do too.
Oh, Chrissy, I'm the worst packer ever.
You check the weather before you leave, but anything could happen.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no weather in my
balls. You don't want to be too hot. You don't want to be wet.
Yes.
You need to have, also you may not feel that shirt.
Yeah.
Not one day.
I know. I'm with you this, and this is why Astrid hates me so much. Astrid is so organized, and she's like, one outfit for each day,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll bring a couple little extra things. You know, we went overseas for a month. Over the summer to go visit relatives and stuff. Big trip. Everyone's going. We had like, you know, we didn't want to bring as few suitcases as possible because it's just a matter of carrying them all around Europe, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to make multiple stops and go to multiple places. It's just, we don't want it to be a big pain in the ass. So Astrid starts to get packing and then she says, put all the stuff that you want over here in this specific area and mm-hmm. I'll fold it up and I'll pack it. I'm going to try and get both of our stuff into one suitcase. And I'm like, okay.
Whoa, so that's a task.
Yes. So every day I just keep adding to the pile and adding to the pile and adding to the pile. And she's like, you have 32 t-shirts. And I go, I know we're going to be gone for like 28 days. And she's like, but you don't need a t-shirt for every single day.
Right.
I go, I know, I might need two. And she goes, you're going to have to get it out of your head that you need to change t-shirts every time that, you know, perspiration even thinks about coming out of your body. You don't have to do that. And I'm like, but honey, you know, I what if I don't like the blue shirt on a Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, do you not think they have washers and dryers over there? We'll be okay. Like, bring 5 t-shirts. Bring a week's worth of t-shirts. And then we can always wash them and dry them. We're going to have, you know, be in multiple Airbnbs. We can do this. And I'm like, but honey, this makes me nervous. It makes me nervous just...
One. I wonder where she got it from.
Oh, she got it from daddy.
Yeah.
And listen, to be fair to me, I am a complete fucking moron. So,
well, let's be fair to you.
Let's be fair to me. Because if their show is anything, it's fair to me.
Quotidian.
Quotidian. All right, we're going to do a quotidian break here. It's mundane. But, you know, hey, listen, take a listen. And you never know. You might want something from one of our sponsors. So let's take a break, and then we'll be back.
Sorry to interrupt, but that's kind of my thing these days. If you're sick of me interrupting Brian, give us a call at 626-ASK-TCB3, leave us a voicemail, and maybe I'll interrupt you on the show instead. You'd love that, wouldn't you? You can also text us at 855-TCB-8383 and check out our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all things TCB. You know what's coming next. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at tcbpodcast. And now let's listen to some sponsors because they're the real ones around here.
This episode is sponsored in part by Magic Spoon. Okay, if you've listened to any amount of The Commercial Break, then you know one of my disgusting food habits is to eat sugary cereals with cream late at night. Well, the Earth just turned 1 year older, and I've decided to do away with the empty calories and added sugars. The good news for my bad cereal habit? I have Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon recreates all the flavors that we loved as children without all the baggage that goes in our bellies. It has all the flavors you love, but it's high in protein, and it has less sugar. Astrid and I just bought a variety pack that has 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosty, frosted and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. It's only 140 calories per serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free. And I get the taste of my favorite cereal without all the guilt. Magic Spoon is returning to the commercial break as a sponsor, and we're so happy that they're offering you a discount. Go to magicspoon.com/TCB to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code TCB at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, absolutely no questions asked. Remember to start the year off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/TCB. And be sure to use the promo code TCB to save $5 off. That's magicspoon.com/TCB and use the code TCB to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for being a sponsor of the commercial break and giving me something to look forward to late night after I get out of the studio. Hey, Podcast Universe. I'm super excited to be talking about an old friend of mine, Jordan Harbinger, and his podcast, The Jordan Harbinger Show. You know that Chrissy and I don't do a lot of talking about other podcasts, but The Jordan Harbinger Show definitely deserves a mention, and here's why. Imagine the serious version of the commercial break, where you actually learn facts from actual experts and in-depth interviews. All the crazy, interesting, weird, and philosophical stuff that we find on the commercial break to have fun with, Jordan takes some of those same topics and he applies a degree of serious journalism to it, and he is an excellent interviewer, maybe one of the best in the business, in my opinion. We know for a fact that a lot of people who listen to the commercial break also listen to The Jordan Harbinger Show. So if you haven't yet taken a listen, go search The Jordan Harbinger Podcast on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, or head over to his website, jordanharbinger.com. That's H-A-R, B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. Jordan has been a longtime supporter of the show, and many people have written in and thanked me for turning them on to Jordan Harbinger, including one of our staff members who is like a Jordan Harbinger super fan. And to quote her, Jordan Harbinger is like the commercial break with actual facts and a lot less laughing. We think you're going to love The Jordan Harbinger Show. So go search on Apple, wherever you find your podcasts, or get started with those starter packs at jordanharbinger.com. And we want to thank Jordan for being a supporter of the commercial break. You know,
that ending makes me laugh every time.
What? Yes. Give me something to look forward to.
After I get out of the studio.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, we do commercials. Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon. Listen, Magic Spoon is good. If you just heard the Magic Spoon commercial, Magic Spoon.
It's tasty.
Is good. It's very tasty. High in protein. I mean, I don't need to repeat the commercial here, but you know, they're a sponsor of the show. And I do like their product. I really do.
Exactly.
I've got a bunch of it in my whatever you call that, the pantry, the area where the kids yell and scream. The pantry is like a congregating plant. Yeah, beg for candy and sweets and juices and all that shit. I don't know if you've been keeping up with this, but the 5 biggest social media platforms are currently sitting in Capitol Hill being grilled by those senators of the Internet Select Committee or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I was watching some of it this morning and I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, social media has changed our lives in so many ways. The internet in general, if you've been alive that long, has changed our life in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And social media, you know, a lot of it is negative. It's not good. And I think we can objectively say that. There is a lot of joy to be found on social media, a lot of sharing, a lot of good news stories, a lot of good ways to keep up with people that you may
see
not.
See pictures.
Yeah, and all that other stuff. But in general, you have to weigh that with all of the negativity that goes on there, the bullying and the, you know, propagation of misinformation and drug dealing and, you know, driving kids to suicide and all this other stuff. It's really terrible. And for the people who are affected by this in a negative way, there is nothing that they can do because the social media companies are held harmless. They cannot be sued. There's no organization. There's no trade organization. There's nothing. It's basically the wild fucking West. And some people say that drives innovation. I might agree. But at the same time, like, I think it was one of the senators said this, and I can't remember which senator said this. And by the way, this is like there's bipartisan support, unanimous bipartisan support to do something to rein these companies in and make
regulate them somehow, be
held responsible for some of the stuff that goes on in their platforms, some of the stuff that goes on in their platforms. And we're talking about when it comes to children, like when it comes to adults, you make your own case, you do your own thing, you know, you're big boys and
you
girls.
You feel jealous.
Yeah.
at the Instagram
That's right.
post.
That's right. When you're a big boy,
you're
girl,
free to feel jealous.
You're feel free to look at as many nipples as you want with inspirational posts under right. them. Quotidian. That's what a quotidian is. It's a post underneath an inspirational quote underneath a picture of tits. It's quotidian. There you go. Right. We figured it all out. It came full circle. So I'm watching this and I'm like, okay, you know, all right, there's Zuckerberg and ShuChu, the guy from TikTok, and there's Evan from Snapchat, there's the dude from Discord, and then there's someone from Twitter. And they're all up there and they're all getting
not
grilled.
Not Musk.
No, Musk is not going to show up to that. No. I think you would be hard-pressed to find him dragged in front of Congress because he has Congress over a barrel. He's controlling a lot of the internet with his fly-in-the-sky bullshit.
Starlink
that you can see basically with your blind eye. Anyway, I digress. So this one of these senators says bolts fell out of a door on a plane and 700 to 800 aircraft were grounded immediately and no one objected because someone could have died. One person could have died and that would have shocked the world. We would have all been super upset about this. We grounded the planes to try and figure out what we should do about this. But many, many, many people can attribute death, somebody's death, to social media, like a direct correlation between these two, and we do nothing about it, right? Because because the social media companies are so powerful, so vastly rich, that they can basically impose their will by just lobbying. So Mark Zuckerberg gets up there, and this lady says, why don't you support this particular bill? And he says, well, we support a lot of what the bill is, but we have our own bill that we would like to submit.
We regulate ourselves.
Yeah, we regulate ourselves. Yes. We're doing it ourselves. Yeah. Can't you guys see this? We're doing such a good job.
Don't worry.
You don't trust this face?
Don't worry about us.
Happy face.
We've got it under control.
It's all good. Chrissy, I don't know why you're bothering. Look at me.
Yeah.
I have a friendly face. What do I do? What's the problem? It's like that guy, ShuChu from TikTok. Mm-hmm. He's like, what? I'm here. What? I protect everybody. I care about your children. Look, your child right now is in her elementary school in the restroom. I've got a camera there. I can see her. I'm taking care of the kids. I got
it's
the
just
kids.
Just data.
Please. Those fentanyl pills, they're being sold everywhere. What do you want me to do? Is this a reflection of everything else that's going on in town? Mark Zuckerberg had the balls to say, not only do I not support your bill, but I don't support your bill because I wrote my own bill.
Right.
And I would like you to support my bill.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in Congress. What the fuck is going on? I realize these companies talk with congressional leaders and they find a way to make it happen. But it's amazing to me that Zuck Tuck up there can get up. This fresh-faced, baby-faced, you know, freckled little face. I have freckles too, so by the way, I'm not, you know, freckled little face up there. And he can tell the ranking members that basically, I don't support your bill because I wrote my own bill. How crazy is that for that kid to be in that position?
Guess you never know until you try, but jeez.
I mean, I am so aghast at what he said.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, they don't want to change. They'll do whatever they can not to.
Well, the big thing is that the only way that things are going to really change for these companies is if the courtroom doors open, if someone's allowed to go in there and sue and be in front of a jury and give the facts, give the evidence. My child was on Snapchat. He bought medication that he thought was safe and, you know, and then it was a fentanyl pill and he died. Mm-hmm. And that was because Snapchat didn't take the appropriate action to stop the drug dealing from happening. This person has been obviously doing this for years on your platform and blah, 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 blah. And then when they get a $100 million lawsuit that rolls in the favor of the plaintiff, then things start to change because they go, uh-oh, if this happened with one case, then if we have 300 other cases like this, now we're talking about billions of dollars, and that's a problem, right? So we better take action on this. I have two friends who worked for social media companies, I won't say which, worked for social media companies in Europe, and their job was to be on the safety and regulation teams. So when a post got flagged or an instant message got flagged, it got sent through some kind of AI. And then if AI decided that that post looked like, it could be whatever. Think of all the bad things in the world that you can think of. It got sent to human beings who then reviewed the post with their eyeballs.
I've heard horror stories about the people that have to look at all the stuff.
I was floored.
Yeah.
At at the process in which these folks to work in that division have to go through. First of all, they separated into multiple bad things, right? Think of all the bad thing piles that you can see on the internet or anywhere in the world. And then they separate that into multiple bad thing piles. And they make a determination about how bad bad things are. And then you get swapped in and out so that you don't have to be subjected to certain types of things for long periods of time. We're talking like you might be there for 3 months and then you move on to the next thing. And then you might come back a couple of years later or whatever. They also have to take like mandatory mental health breaks where they go and they talk to therapists and take a couple of days off so they can go see the world, not through this lens that they've been seeing it through. If it's that fucking bad, then isn't like, I'm not talking about grown ass adults who can make the decisions about what they see and what they don't see. There's a set, this may contain sensitive content. Do you want to see it? Yes or no? I'm talking about children who are being exploited by these companies and then advertised to because they can make money off of them, right? And then all these bad things are rolling through the screens of the kids. And it's like, holy shit. The worst thing that I saw before the age I was 13 years old, the worst thing that I saw was like a knockoff, you know, softcore porn Cinemax horror movie and the Sears catalog where I thought I saw a shape of a nipple on one of the bra section things. That's the worst thing I was subjected to, right? And I can't imagine.
Well, let's not forget about your encyclopedia collection.
Oh, yeah, I had the encyclopedia.
You looked up the mass murderers.
I did. Well, that's when I turned. Yeah, okay, all right. I said the worst thing I saw before I was 10, because when I was 12, I got the Time Life serial killer collection. Yeah. My dad let me get it. I was like, yeah, Dad, who's John Wayne Gacy? Because he grew up, you know, he like lived right down the street from us.
That's right.
At the same time, when I was around, right? Or I was being born. I was in that, like, in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
And and I thought to myself, why not me? Like, what was wrong with me? What was wrong with
me?
Why didn't he pick me? And my dad was like, you're obnoxious. From the day that you were born, son. So if Time Life serial, and by the way, there were no particularly gory images in that Time Life series. It was just a lot. There were descriptions of stuff, but it wasn't like particularly, you know, gory.
Yeah, no. I mean, you can see so much.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's scary.
But I don't want to.
Glad I don't have small children.
I know. God damn. Astrid and I were talking about it while I was watching this, and it's like, it's so depressing. It's just so depressing. And I'm talking to my chiropractor the other day, and the guy says he has teenage children. And he's like, bro, I wish my kids were your age, because when they get big, the problems get super complicated and there's no easy answer. And they're having existential crises at like 13 years old now because of social media, AI, the internet, all this stuff. They're like questioning their existence because there's so much bad shit coming at them at all times. They are like, am I really just going to work a job for the rest of my life and then die? Yes, that's what you're going to do. That's what happens. And I said, yeah, our parents probably said that too. And he goes, I strongly disagree with you. And he convinced me that I was wrong. He said, we have more in common with how our grandparents raised our parents than we do with our own children at this age, because we didn't have any of this. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't even have phones in our room, right? Some of us didn't have phones in our room. We certainly didn't have them in our pocket 24 hours a day where we could be subjected to anything and everything. And it's just like, it's so scary. But there was one CEO that was missing from this group that I really think needs to be up there. And that is the Nextdoor CEO. Where is the Nextdoor CEO?
Well, this is true.
If we're going to protect our children, we need to protect our elderly too from that fucking Nextdoor app. Let me explain why.
I think it started off as a good idea. I remember getting on it years ago and thinking, okay, great. Somebody wants to get rid of a table. They left it out and anybody can come pick it up. Whatever.
Car broken into down the street. Good information to know.
Right. Yeah. Then I moved and got on it again. And I was like, what the hell's happening on here now?
Chrissy, we have to protect our elderly. This app is fucking insane. People are fucking Looney Tune on this app.
Anything where people can comment and say what they want behind a screen just becomes crazy.
But the crazy thing is that they're really like, it's a kind of anonymous, but not really, because most old people put their actual names on there, like Mary Jane Rookatoogle 3575, you know, Zip Zop Lane. That's their username. And you're like, what? So I go on this Nextdoor because there's some alert about some action happening down the street or something. I'm like, oh, okay. I haven't been on Nextdoor in years. Mm-hmm. And then I start scrolling and I realize that the elderly people are just as crazy as the teenagers. They really are. And so there's this old lady, Mary Jane Rapplepopple, whatever her name is, right? Lives down the street or I don't know. She's in the neighborhood that we live in. And she goes, I ordered groceries to my house and they were delivered somewhere else. If anybody knows where they are, please call my cell phone at 344-4744. Then she puts a picture of the last time groceries got delivered to her house and what they look like. And she's like, apples, milk, tampons for my young daughter. And I'm like, oh, my God, lady, she puts the picture and it's got her fucking mailbox address right there. And I'm like, have you no sense in your head? Mm. Another lady's like, is this a tiger in our neighborhood? It's a fucking raccoon. And she's like, spotted tiger. Has anybody heard of loose animals from the zoo or a circus? I spotted a tiger. And she's got this picture. It's got this picture of a raccoon. But it's not a joke. It's not a joke. She's like responding to people. And yeah. Someone's like... Someone goes, they go, oh yeah, that's a trash tiger. They're all over the place. I thought it was so funny. I saw two of them this morning. And she's like, I didn't know there was such a thing as a trash tiger. Please tell me more. I'm in danger. God. One lady wrote, I don't know what to do. My oven won't turn on. Can someone please help me call this number? And she's got like this selfie where she's half in, half out of the photograph. She's taking a picture and she's like, ah, we must save the elderly. The next door is driving them crazy. It's insane.
Yeah, I guess kind of their social media platform, isn't it?
And then they post pictures of random people mm-hmm. walking down the street. Yeah. Like, this Mexican spotted. Yeah. I'm like, okay, all right. What the fuck? All right. I know. Suspicious Mexican spotted. And yeah. I'm like, suspicious Mexican? What? Suspicious old lady posting random racist shit on Nextdoor.
Right.
It is so crazy.
I know, I never get on
that. I posted one time on that. One time. The beginning of the pandemic. I wrote this little thing. And I'm like, this is a crazy time. I just wrote it. I wrote it on a bunch of platforms. I don't know why I wrote it. Maybe for attention. I don't know what I was doing. I was lonely. It was the early pandemic. Yes, we had no listeners. Right. I was just like, okay, let me write something nice. So I was like, oh, what a mixed up crazy time. I think we'd all come together and help each other in this situation. You know, neighbors be neighbors nice. And friends be friends, and let's all, you know, gather, kumbaya moment, right? Whatever, mm-hmm. gather by the campfire. Little did I know it would turn into the biggest shitstorm that's ever happened. But, you know, it's like day two of the pandemic. Right. And I'm like, okay, I'll send a little love out there. I got hundreds of comments. You're so blind. You don't know that the government's trying to overtake us. Steve Jones, 770-555-5555. At Steve Jones, 555-555. Because his phone, the people are putting their phone numbers on the news. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop. I want to stop you from doing this. I think we should actually do a segment where we read Nextdoor mm-hmm. posts. Because they are so insanely insane. You can't believe it.
And now there's ads on it too, I've noticed. To where, you know,
of course they like, got to make money.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got to mm-hmm. make money. One lady said she spotted a prostitute at the Starbucks. That was the post. Spotted prostitute at Starbucks. She took a picture. It was like a lady in a dress. This lady has been frequenting Starbucks. I've seen her with multiple men. We must protect our children. Protect our children. Let the lady do her work if she is a prostitute. Second of all, she's probably just a lady.
She's just having meetings or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, she's just going to Starbucks. That hot stone massage place, something, the Japanese, you know, whatever it is, a massage parlor that's given, you know, hack jacks or whatever. You should see the posts on those. Oh, everybody's a flame about the jack shack down the street, you know. You know, these men are ruining our society. You know, stop them, whores and tramps and sluts, all of them. It's like, okay, grandma, settle down. Spotted on OAN, you know.
Right.
My favorite is that, you know, multiple things are happening. And I'm not saying this doesn't happen. I'm saying I'm sure this doesn't happen as frequently as I see it on Nextdoor. That, like, you know, spotted pamphlet on my car. This is how they traffic you. And I'm like, how do they traffic you? They put the pamphlet there to indicate that you're the one they got to take down. You're 78. I don't think they're trafficking 78-year-olds. I mean, I'm sure there's a market for it, but yeah. I don't think they're trafficking you, Grandma. You're okay, right?
Right.
I read it on OAN. Oh, you did? Okay.
Wow. Right. Then it must be true.
Must be totally legitimate if you read it on OAN. So, you know, we definitely have to do something about the kids. We've got to protect the elderly, too, because they're just as crazy. And they are going insane on this Next Door. If you haven't been on Next Door and you want a real nice night of hilarity,
you should have seen the one after Halloween. I got on there after Halloween for something. And, you know, because it's like someone said, here's your post and whatever. I look on it was nuts.
Yeah.
Nuts about, you know, hoodlums, vandalums, people.
Fentanyl.
Some people were nice. Yeah but fentanyl. Yeah. I had my bucket of candy stolen. Look, here's the kid that did it. And they show like a Ring camera.
I know. Somebody, they will post pictures of people.
I'm like, well, you're the
people.
One who left the bucket of candy out there.
Yeah. It's one time there was a UPS guy with a brown uniform, but she couldn't see the UPS sign. And she was like, call the police. UPS man with no UPS patch. I'm in danger. These are not jokes. They're real.
Yeah.
One lady was like, did your children get any of these? And they're like, sweet tarts, right? They look exactly like fentanyl pills. God. Don't give to children. Report to police immediately. And I'm like, what the fuck? They're sweet tarts, lady. No one's giving free fentanyl to the kids. That's not happening. Stop it. Stop it. It might have happened one time where some junkie, you know, threw out some whatever. So, here's some fentanyl pills. Have a nice night. But no one's giving free drugs away. That doesn't happen. Because if that would happen, I wouldn't be here right now. I would be getting the free drugs. That's what I would be doing.
I want my candy.
I want my candy, candy, candy. I'm literally shaking and sweating. Daddy, I'm puking. I'm in the fetal position. Ah! Oh, we should do a Next Door read.
We should.
The Next Door comments. That's what we're going to do.
Oh, let me put it in the notebook.
Please do. And actually, let's not put it in the notebook because we'll never do it. No,
but
actually,
then we really will never remember.
Yeah, we'll never remember it. I'm going to put it on.
I think we need
to
do a segment on the notebook.
Well, we said we were going to do that this season. So we're going to do that. Put that in the notebook and we'll never do the notebook season segment. All right. You write that down. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more fun and more fentanyl for you. There you go.
Ugh, finally. I feel like I was waiting forever for my turn to talk. Now that I have you, go to tcbpodcast.com to find all of our audio and video content and follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. Want it to be your turn to talk? Call us and spill the tea at 626-ASK-TCB3 and you may hear your voice on the show. You can also text us your tea at 855-TCB-8383 and boy, do we love to hear it. Anyway, take a listen to our sponsors and let's get back to the show.
This episode is sponsored in part by Prize Picks. Everybody out there in the podcast universe knows what a huge NFL fan I am and exactly how much I know about the sport. However, I'm getting into it, and I'll tell you why. Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. You don't have to be a professional football player or dating some famous singer to get in on the action. Prize Picks is allowing you to do it. And it's that time of year again, the big game right around the corner. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to turn every game-changing moment into 100x your money. With as little as 4 correct picks, you can turn $10 into $1,000. I just jumped on the Prize Pick apps last week, and I'm telling you what, it's super easy to do. Prize Picks is a really simple way. I can make my picks and then submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Now, I don't want to go into detail about who I picked because I make my choices based on a complicated spreadsheet, and then I have Blue bark twice at the right answer. So do us a favor. Go to prizepicks.com/TCB and use the code TCB for the first deposit match of up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/TCB. Make sure you use the code TCB for the first deposit match of up to $100. They're giving you free money. So no matter who wins or loses this big Sunday, you have an opportunity to be part of the big game in a big way and possibly win a little moolah. Who's going to argue with that? prizepicks.com/TCB. Use the code TCB and get a first deposit match of up to $100. Thanks, Prize Picks, for being a sponsor of The Commercial Break. All right, I got so excited about this. I decided to pull
Next Door.
Up. Yeah, Next Door. Now, listen, here we go. Ready? Here, Leslie says, I heard a lot of birds chirping loudly outside this morning, and I went to look. There was an enormous amount of blackbirds flying and landing on my backyard and pecking. There were a few lone birds, but most of them were swirling in groups. I couldn't easily tell which color they were. They looked mostly black or dark gray. I couldn't get pictures because I've never used a cell phone before. They spotted me, and then they flew away. I've never seen this behavior before. Has anyone else noticed? Are the birds in danger? Should I call animal control? That's a flock of fucking birds, Lee.
I know. I just saw that happen actually in our park the other day, and I just thought it was cool looking. I didn't write on next door.
You didn't write on next door? I did not even have to scroll to find that post. I didn't even have to scroll. It's a craziness is right there for you. So much fun. Hey, I read a Dear Abby type column. Maybe even been Dear Abby. I read a Dear Abby, and I thought it was an interesting topic to bring up. Now, I'll tell you what Dear Abby said. You want me to just read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Abby. Let me take your material here. Okay. Oh, it is Dear Abby. Dear Abby, after 17 years of marriage, I learned to my dismay that when he was 22, my husband had a long-term relationship with a 16-year-old girl. He insisted that she lied about her age and told him she was 20. But even after finding out her true age, he went on to date her. Her mother was okay with it, as well as other family members who all knew she was underage. It makes me so sick to my stomach. They engaged in sexual activity when she was underage. They were even engaged. They were even engaged until she cheated. I'm livid because he tried to say that he told me she was underage, but he never did. I know this. I would never have dated or married someone.
I know this.
I would never have dated or married someone who knowingly had sex with an underage girl. I've been questioning myself a lot about this marriage, but this sent me over the top.
How many years have they been?
17 years. Oh my God. So this guy is at least in his 50s, I would imagine, 40s, 50s. Am I overreacting because he was young and dumb and did something stupid that he'll never do again, as he puts it? Can't get over it. Sounds like you're already over it. Sounds like you're already heading for divorce.
Right.
Even before the underage story. And if someone is making you sick to your stomach like that, then, I mean, listen, it's not a good thing. I don't suggest any 22-year-old date a 16-year-old. That's not what I'm saying. But
what state was this in?
I don't know. I'm not going to give that kind of identifying information. I think the whole point of Dear Abby is to keep everything real anonymous.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. True.
Some southern states, I think it's still legal to get married at like 14. Or something.
With parents' permission, it's in some southern states or some states, it's still legal to get married. The age of consent, at least in the state of Georgia, is 16 years old, but you can't be in a power of authority. You can't have any kind of, like, you can't be a coach, a teacher, a bus driver, whatever. You can't have some position of authority over that child, because then that's considered grooming. And I don't think it's legal for 22-year-olds to have sex with 16-year-olds. No. I don't know. I think age of consent means you can have sex with other 16-year-olds, basically, is what it means. But I don't know. I don't know all this stuff. I haven't checked the law. Yeah. I'm not checking the law for any particular reason. But Dear Abby or Abby goes,
I'm curious as to what she says, because I know what I
would
say is, he's like, yeah, get over it.
That's what she said. Get over it. Yeah.
It's happened a really long time ago. You guys have been married for 17 years.
Yes.
What now?
Yeah. Like, why now? Why now are you upset about this? I think you're right about
this.
And
also, how was this discovered 17 years later? Like, what does he have, like, if he's got like a little box of her 16-year-old underwear or something.
If he's got been tiger beat.
Yeah, that's a little different. Like, how was this discovered?
Don't know.
17 years later.
I have no idea. I read what was written. It says, Dear Can't Get Over It, the most important line in your letter, as far as I'm concerned, is this one sentence. I've been questioning myself a lot about this marriage. The first item on your agenda should be to make an appointment with a licensed marriage and family therapist so you and your husband can start working on what's wrong with your relationship. His feelings for that girl were sincere. He would have married her had she not cheated on him. If he has been faithful to you and a caring husband since the beginning of your marriage, it's time to forgive him for his youthful indiscretion, which was encouraged by the girl's entire family.
Yeah.
Period. End of sentence. That's all she says. So, yeah. Like, what are you going to do? This wasn't like he groomed her. I mean, I don't know because there's such limited information, but it sounds like everybody was on board with this at the time. They were all like, yeah, you guys are in love, whatever. I'm not saying that that makes it right.
She lied at the beginning too, as you would do, as I did when I was 16, you know, talking to an old, cute older guy. Yeah.
This happened to me also. I dated a girl, said she was 21, and I found out when we went to Blockbuster that she wasn't 21 because you needed to be 21 in order to have a Blockbuster card or whatever it was. Do you remember this story?
Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know what Blockbuster is.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's true. And some reason she was under the age of having a Blockbuster card, and I didn't realize that she was that age. She had lied about it, basically. And that startled me, and I discontinued the relationship because I was like...
No movie for you.
Yeah, no movie for you. And I really wanted to see...
Fatal Attraction.
That's right. I really wanted to see Family Zoo 2. That's my favorite movie of
family
all time.
Matters.
Oh, Family
for
Matters.
That matter.
Yeah, Family First. Family First.
Family First.
Fly by Night. Yeah, Fire by Night.
Family First. That was crazy.
Oh my God. Oh, by the way, I found more episodes, and that's like the least crazy of the episodes. And we didn't even get to the heart of what happened. We may have to go back to that one. I just don't know if I can digest it two episodes in a row.
No,
it's a little much. Yeah. That guy screaming at the time is like, I say that as a guy who just screams into the microphone the whole episode, but you know. You like it. I don't. Okay. This is that. It's a complicated topic, but let's put aside the fact that she had a relationship with a 16-year-old girl. When you are so fluffed about something that happened so long ago, it's clear that you're just not interested in your husband anymore. Anyway,
and you're finding a reason
mm-hmm. to be upset with him. And I don't know, but you know, could be completely opposite. Maybe she thinks for some reason he did coerce this girl into a relationship, or she has some reason to believe he was grooming her or something like that.
No, it's not based off what she said.
Not based off what she said. Yeah. But, and you know, who's to say that he's lying or he's not lying, but I was surprised by Dear Abby's reaction. I was.
That was my reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was a little surprised because when I read it at first, I was like, oh shit, that's kind of gross, you know? But then she pointed out that the one sentence in the whole thing was, I've been questioning myself a lot about this marriage lately. Oh, I imagine that's what Astrid's thinking all the time. She's probably like, I've been questioning myself a lot about this marriage. not because of my youthful indiscretions, but because of my
current
indiscretions.
Current situations.
My business acumen. Or lack thereof. Can cut both ways. And it also made me think about our Ask TCB from the other day.
Yes.
Where the girl had a sister who wanted to date their stepbrother. So there was multiple marriages involved, but just know none of them were blood related, and there was a divorce involved and some time had gone by. And one of her stepsister had another stepbrother from another marriage, and they all remained friendly. And then the stepsister wanted to date the stepbrother who they were not blood related. They were related by marriage mm-hmm. and the divorce had happened. So they were no longer family members. Technically,
they were soulmates.
And they were soulmates. And that's what she said. And that's how she described it. And I thought to myself, yeah, why the fuck not, actually?
Yeah.
And the more that I thought about that, the more entrenched I got in that position. And I don't know why, but it just stuck with me.
Stuck
I was like,
you.
You know, fuck that. Like, okay, it's a little weird. It's a little unconventional. Yeah, I admit that. But, you know, it takes all kinds and you find people everywhere, you know, on earth. And, you know, technically, when Astrid and I married, we became family members. And family members.
That's
true. We became like second cousins.
Yes.
And then we're also married.
Mm-hmm.
So I entrenched myself in this position because I don't want anyone throwing stones in my direction when I became second cousins-in-laws or something like that.
Came into the family.
I came into the family and then I came into the family. I came into the family two different ways is basically how
you
it
did.
Happened. It's kind of weird, but you know, whatever. And don't ask me how to explain how exactly that happened because no one knows. We just know that there's some, it's like True Detective. There's a lot of circles involved.
It's true.
There's so many circles, and I don't know.
There's
understand.
No corpsicle, so that's
no,
good.
No corpsicle. There's mm-hmm. no shriveled up dicks and clawed out eyeballs in that new in that new True Detective. Oh, this I wanted to piggy front off this. Get your piggy fronting sticker now.
Yes, you can.
Now available
mine.
With a microscope. Yeah, I'll get you one. Mm-hmm. You can have one.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. Times are tough. We got to save all the stickers. Love is Blind is coming back.
Let me think about which one. The one with the pods?
The pods.
I'm over that one.
You are?
Mm.
Oh, I thought this last season, they only had two couples that even survived all, you know, through the fucking honeymoon. But I did find myself engaged in this
particular episode. I've moved on now to the Married
episode.
At First Sight or whatever.
Married at First Sight?
Yeah.
Is the latest season?
Yeah, I think, I don't know.
Okay.
But I've stuck with it so far. I think that is crazy. I mean, that's really wild.
It's really wild.
And, but they have professional people that are doing the matching. They've got like there's somebody from like the religious, and then there's the,
that's right.
The licensed
sex therapist, like a psychologist.
Yeah, there's like three.
Yeah, there's three professionals.
And they all, you know, they do extensive interviewing and they match people. And it is very interesting.
It's very interesting, but their hit rate is still about the same as it is out there in the real world, meaning that the divorce rate is similar. Yeah, it's very interesting. But it's very interesting in the sense that, you know, arranged marriages do work.
Yeah.
That's the truth. They work about as much as a marriage in any other way that you would meet.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It kind of makes me, it's thought-provoking to me because I think, well, these people really do have a lot of things in common, and maybe if they had met on their own or like in a different circumstance that where you don't all of a sudden you're married and you're moved in with each other.
Yeah. It's the real deal.
Living with somebody just in itself can, you know, drive you apart. but if you had built organically on that, maybe they would have lasted. I don't know. It brings up a lot of little questions.
I agree with you. I think it's a very thought-provoking show. I think it was from the beginning a very thought-provoking show. Married at First Sight America, Married at First Sight Australia. I'm sure they have different versions. I think they have MAFS in England too. They call it MAFS. It's short. We're all talking code here about Married at First Sight. But the reason why MAFS.
I just learned that.
But the reason why I'm kind of soured a little bit on Married at First Sight is because it's not sensationalized, and I want it to be sensationalized.
See, that's why I've soured on the Love is Blind.
Okay, that's why you've soured. I don't know. I want to be entertained also, and I'm not always entertained with MAFS anymore because it's just a little dry sometimes. They go in a kind of the regular rigmarole and meeting the family. I don't really get along with his mother. I don't really. Well, I can deal with that in my own life. Like, I see that in my own life. What I want is overdramatic, clearly mentally ill human beings dating each other so that I can make fun of the, so I can feel better about my own relationship.
Right. Well, I might dip my toe back into that pod.
Let me tell you why I think it might be a good idea to that pod. Let me tell you why I might think that'd be a good idea. That might be a good idea this season.
Okay.
They are bringing back couples that didn't work out.
Oh.
From previous seasons.
Okay. Well, I did watch the previous seasons, except for this past one.
Okay. I think you should watch the last one. I think it was really interesting, actually.
I thought you said it was horrible.
No, I think I said that about MAFS. I'm not sure I said that about Love is Blind. We did like the Love is Blind season in general.
Well, the one they were trying to do the live reunion or something?
Oh, that was two seasons ago. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, what a...
They're just churning these things out.
What's that?
They're just churning these things out.
It's a Netflix hit. They have them in seven different countries, seven different languages. A lot of people are watching them. I can't do it with all the fucking reading. I just can't do it. Or they have terrible, like, you know, they do overdubbing and it's just terrible. It's horrible. But I can't do it in the other countries. But here, Love is Blind, there's been hit or miss seasons. There's like four, five, six, seven, something like that seasons now. The first couple were great. There was a couple duds. Now I think this last season was okay. But I am super interested to see what happens when they put people who have already been in the pods together, because now they've sharpened up their game. They know what's going on. They're fame hungry and they want to get that screen time. And they're willing to probably to do anything to get it. And so I am all about it. Bring those rejects back and let's have a good time.
Okay. I'll dip my toe in there. The one that I kid not, that I really got, it irked me, was the one about the marry me or not one, to where they, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
One where they, couples,
okay,
like say 10
yeah,
couples who have not married yet.
Oh.
The one wants to get married, the other one maybe doesn't want to. And then they switch couples.
Yes.
Switch them with somebody else. It's crazy.
First of all, can we talk about how much money this Nick Lachey and Vanessa are getting paid to do absolutely nothing?
Right. Well, the same
absolutely nothing.
As the Bachelor.
Yeah. Now they got a new Bachelor guy.
Final rose.
Ladies, There's 26 roses left. Prepare to say your goodbyes. Go ahead. I'm behind you, behind the curtain. No. And he goes and like hides behind a curtain. And then he's like, ladies, 21 roses left. You're probably going to get rejected. I'll be back here.
I know.
Ladies, you all just got drunk on this first night. There's lots of B-roll footage we're going to use to embarrass you and your family. Prepare to say goodbyes. 4 roses left. And then final rose comes out. I was watching this the other night with Astrid. I went to go take a shower and I got stuck in the final rose ceremony.
Oh yeah.
And these catty ass women. I swear to God,
they are.
Well, it gets down to like, you know, the last 4 roses, and these girls are literally throwing a fit. They're like, and then they have the cutaways, right? And it's like, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, what is Clayton doing?
Right.
Why am I not being picked yet? Oh, in this season, they have 2 sisters on the same bachelor.
I'm not getting into
it. And Astrid goes, one of those sisters is a total bitch. There's no way that he gets her. There's no way that I watched the whole episode. There's just no way. He doesn't like her at all. And I go, Astrid, you are watching a television program. The sisters will continue.
Yes.
Probably until the bitter end.
Yes, it'll be against the 2.
If the producers have their choice, it'll be the 2 sisters with the final rose. I promise you. And guess what? I was right. Uh-huh. And she's like, oh, I would have never guessed that. And I'm like, honey, it's a television show. Mm-hmm. The producers are in this guy's ear all the time. And the guy knows what he signs up for. He doesn't sign up to find love. Maybe that happens. He signs up to make entertaining television. Mm-hmm. That's the point. But I did watch that other where they mix the couples up. And Nick Lachey and Vanessa.
Like, well, would you like to get married now after you just slept with the other guy from the pool?
Exactly. Did any one of those couples work out? I didn't see the end because I only watched 2 episodes and I was bored.
Exactly.
I was bored because the premise is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Take a situation where you're questioning everything about the relationship and then put some hot ass in front of them and ply them with liquor and a television camera and see how things work out. Well, I telegraphed that one a mile away. Guess what? None of these couples are walking away any kind of healthy. I would dare you to go Google those couples and see if one of them is still together to this day. I promise you, my guess is they're not.
Yeah.
Because how do you go through something like
that? Or they are because they planned it. Mm. I mean, that's the other thing is when I watch some of these shows, I'm like, how planned out did they do that? Like, to a certain extent of like, look, we're going to go apply for the show separately.
Yep.
And we're going to try and get on and see if we can get on.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, they're just like a step ahead.
This is why you got to watch the last season of Love is Blind. Because this exact quandary presents itself in the season. 2 people who had been dating each other show up on Love is Blind. There's a lot of questions about how both of them got on there, how this slipped by the producers, how no one knew this. And it becomes a big blow up. So I want you to watch that season because I think that this was the most interesting part about that season is it's like, oh, holy shit, they had actually dated before. And then they connected in the pods on the first episode. But what you don't see, and I'm just going to like a little spoiler alert, what you don't see, the producers don't show you that they discover almost immediately, like within 30 minutes, they discover, oh my God, your voice is familiar. Everything you're saying is familiar. Are you so-and-so?
Uh-huh.
Yes. So, but it's not until like the 5th episode that you learn this and you're like, wow, that's crazy. And the shoe drops. I like that sensationalized bullshit. I want to be entertained. I want to be entertained. That's why I watch my 1,000-pound sisters and all this other stuff. It's because it's highly entertaining. It's just entertaining. It's exact opposite of my life. And Maths is too close to it because they're trying to put couples together.
That's why I like the Housewives and all the Bravo stuff.
I love the bullshit. You love the real shit. Now we know.
None of it's real.
Well, that's true, too. So if it's not real, then let's just have some fun. Yeah. See? I'm right. Again.
To be fair.
I'm right. This one time today. Okay. Listen. Protect the elderly. Protect that Nextdoor app. Get that Nextdoor app. Get that CEO. Pull him in front of Congress and ask him what he's doing. He or she, whoever it is. Okay, we're going to do a Nextdoor episode
where
we just find a good Nextdoor post and we read them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Chrissy. It's so that is entertaining. That should be a television show. We should follow these people around who are posting to Nextdoor and see what they do on a daily basis. My groceries got dropped off somewhere else. Let me know if you find them. What? Seriously?
I love the turtle notifications to say it today. No.
No.
I will not be doing that.
I don't need
because to. When I first signed up years ago, I got 1,000 notifications.
Of course.
Every day.
Because Grandma Jean is like literally talking into Siri, telling her everything she's doing.
Right.
I took a shit. It came out purple. Call 911.
Call animal control.
Call animal control. There's a trash tiger outside. Trash tiger. That guy was funny. I like that. All right, tcbpodcast.com. That's where you go. You find out more information about the show, all the audio, all the video right there from one location. You can view the entire library right there. You can also get your free piggy fronting sticker. Go to the contact us button, drop down menu, I want my free sticker. Send us your address and we'll send it off to you in 7 to 12 months. It'll be right there, right there in your mailbox. If Jean, Grandma Jean doesn't get to it first.
Right, steal it.
Spotted, suspicious piggy fronting stamp.
That's how they get you.
That's how they get
They're trying to traffic you.
That's right. 626 Ask TCB, the number 3. That's 1-626 Ask TCB and Z number 3. Go ahead and text us your questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We take them all. Brian's mom coming back on the show here very soon.
Right.
So if you have a question for her, we already have some questions, but if you have a question for her, text it to us. We would love to know. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB podcast on TikTok, not for anybody under 13 years old, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for clips and full interviews and full episodes, all that good stuff. And now audio version on the RSS feed on YouTube. Okay, Chrissy, I definitely think that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
So I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
And I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Quotidian. But good.
Quote
Until
city.
Next time, we must say, we always say, and we do say, goodbye. Goodbye.